You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Dr. Zach joins us now on the line from Montreal. Hi, Dr. Zach.
Hi, Dale.
Now, today we're going to talk a bit of, this is kind of an extension of what we were talking about the last time you joined us, and this was essentially the general category of medications that were invented for one thing and were also came in handy for other things. And we mentioned briefly sildenafil, am I saying that right? Sildenafil?
Absolutely.
Sildenafil citrate, which was invented for one thing but is now used for another thing. Could you explain?
Well, you know, I don't remember what it was initially invented for. I know some of the
nobody other
uses.
Does.
I don't know which came first, to be honest. Like, I know some of the other uses for it. You know, they use it for pulmonary artery hypertension, and it's used for altitude sickness as well.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not sure what they were looking for.
that's the story I got from the drug company itself a long time ago, and it was a guy not speaking officially, but from Pfizer, right, talking about Viagra.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, that's how a lot of things happen, and now, of course, as of last year, I couldn't find the numbers for this year, but as of last year, it's more than $5 billion a year spent on these, on this category of medication.
Five billion? Is that sounds like a lot?
It sounds like a lot. I think it is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is so sildenafil is the brand names are Viagra. What else? Cialis.
Yeah, Cialis is tadalafil.
Oh, okay, that's a different drug then. Yeah.
Yeah, they all do the same thing, and the third one is Levitra, which is vardenafil.
Oh, okay.
They're all quite similar. The only one that's Cialis is a bit different because it lasts a lot longer than the other ones. So some people prefer that, some people don't.
Yeah.
But they all have the same effect, which is basically to help people achieve or maintain an erection when they have difficulty doing so because of a blood flow problem to the penis.
To help men achieve an erection.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have done studies on women. I mean, basically what it does is it helps the body to maintain the blood flow to the penis. So basically what happens is it's like two balloons basically in the penis that fill up with blood when someone gets an erection. And what has to happen is that the arteries that supply the blood have to be wide open, and the veins that let the blood go out of the penis have to be kind of shut down. And in some people, especially people with diabetes or people with other kind of vascular, like vein and artery problems, it doesn't work quite 100% as well as it might. And so these medications help the blood flow improve to the penis.
All right.
And so one of the things that is a bit of a misconception about Viagra is that it doesn't actually, it doesn't act to increase people's
libido,
desire to have sex. You know,
yeah.
It's not a medication like that. But I think in some people it works that way just because knowing they are going to get an erection, it actually helps them feel like they're going to perform better, and it makes them a little bit more aroused. But that's not actually what it's doing.
Yeah.
And they have done some studies on women, and just to see if it helps, there is some evidence. You know, I mean, obviously a woman doesn't have a penis, but in the clitoral area and then the vaginal area, whether it could be some increased blood flow supply, and there's some promising results. I mean, it certainly doesn't work the same. It's not as effective, but especially they've done some studies on women and men, actually, who take antidepressants, for example, and antidepressants have been known to have sexual side effects, and there has been some promise shown that it is somewhat helpful.
And this is something that a doctor would also prescribe if, for example, you've had prostate surgery, right?
Yeah, absolutely, it could help. I mean, that's it. Depending on what happened, exactly. So if you've had a prostate, like if you've had your prostate removed for prostate cancer, and, you know, depending on what the cause of the, if you have some impotence or trouble getting an erection, depending on what the cause is, certainly if the cause is vascular, you know, because what this is doing is basically increasing blood flow. So if the problem is a blood flow problem, then absolutely Viagra or one of these other medications could be helpful.
Can it be argued that this is in some ways a recreational drug?
Oh, absolutely.
I guess maybe that's what it is.
I mean, it's to improve people's quality of life. I mean, yeah. You know, some people want it more than others, and there's some arguments that sometimes, you know, a man will get it and his partner won't be so happy about it because maybe she, you know, is perfectly happy not to have
yeah, exactly.
all the time.
Right.
And certainly there's some abuse of it. I mean, there's no question it has a bit of a street value. There's certainly some people who take it who don't need it, you know, because they think it's going to give them better performance or have them last longer, or they can rebound quicker so they can have sex again. And there's some concern that people who are using it who don't actually need it may get tolerant to it or may get dependent on it, so they need it.
So you can develop a tolerance towards it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you're not. Apparently, for people who use it as indicated, you know, people who actually need it, it's not supposed to be a drug that you get tolerant to. In fact, the Cialis, the long-acting one, is marketed some places as a daily medication. So, like I said, that's the long-acting one, and some people will actually prescribe it as a low dose every day so that someone can have sex, you know, whenever they want. They don't have to think about it. And so, in general, it's not considered to be something that tolerance develops to. But in people who use it recreationally, who really don't need it, that's the concern is they're more at risk of tolerance and even dependence.
Are there any serious side effects to using these?
Yeah, there are side effects, absolutely, and there are serious interactions as well. So, I mean, the most common, most of the side effects are not dangerous. Like people can get a mild headache or flushing or nasal congestion, but there are rare cases of it being linked to heart attack or sudden hearing loss, and there are some people who do get color vision changes, and so pilots are not supposed to use it within 6 hours of flying. And you can't take it if you're on something like nitroglycerin, which basically decreases your blood pressure. There's a very strong interaction between that and nitroglycerin, so you just can't take this medication with nitroglycerin.
Yeah, I think I saw the Jack Nicholson movie in which that happened. Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There's a few other what they call contraindications. So basically, if you have very low blood pressure, if you had a recent stroke or heart attack, or severe liver or kidney dysfunction. Those are all reasons that you need to think twice and talk to your doctor about. It is a prescription medication here. Some places it isn't. I think in Mexico, actually, it's not a prescription medication, interestingly enough.
And you can certainly get it on, or you can get something that supposedly is one of these medications online. That's all over the place, of course.
Well, it sure seems like. I mean, if you ever, you know, Google one of these medications, I don't know if they're the real thing, but
that's the
point.
You know,
if you're just looking for information about it, the top 10 things you'll get are people trying to sell you Viagra or Viagra-like medications.
Is it expensive to buy?
It's pretty expensive. Oh, the real one is about $7 to $10 a pill. It's probably 10 now, actually. 7 was a few years ago. So I think the most recent thing I saw was $10 a pill. Now, there's supposedly generics coming out, but there's always ways that the drug companies find to try and extend their trademark, and they're coming up with new formulations. I know, again, I just happened to read something about Mexico today, but in Mexico, they're marketing ones that dissolve, you know, so people don't have to drink it, or it can be, I guess, a little more subtly taken.
All right. You know, and I chortle as I say, well, can it be classed as a recreational drug? But the point is, if you have a good sex life, it certainly contributes to your general well-being anyway, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it all goes together. We always talk about, you know, how people should stay active and people should stay fit and people should stay involved and invested in life. And this is part of that, you know. So I think it's the same people who want to maintain their physical activity, want to maintain all the other aspects of their lives. And intimacy, of course, is a very important part of that.
Yeah. I noticed the lines are not exactly, melting down here. People are maybe a little self-conscious about asking questions, but I'll give the numbers again just in case before we move on to other things. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. I can imagine that that's a self-conscious kind of conversation that a man would have with his doctor. If in fact they felt that they needed to get a prescription for one of these drugs. That would be tough.
Yeah, for the most part, yes. I mean, in general, it's not, people don't feel particularly comfortable bringing it up. I mean, sometimes, hopefully, a sensitive doctor will actually bring it up and in a sort of review of systems, how's the water works, how's your breathing, how's your digestion, how's your sex life, in a non-threatening way like that, and hopefully that'll open the door to a discussion of that sort of thing. But often, certainly I've had people kind of bring it up at the end, just, oh, and by the way.
Doc.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, and you've talked about that before, and I, as a mere mortal patient, I agree with it. The notion that the doctor understands some of those. Some things are difficult for patients, male or female, to talk about. And you kind of go through that kind of conversation as the doctor tries to kind of open up the door for you to say something that you wanted to say to the doctor, but you were too embarrassed to do it.
Oh, yeah. I think that, the doctor has a big role in making it a non-taboo subject because, it isn't for us. We do deal with it all the time. And we do, I think maybe some people don't realize that this is tens of millions of people are using these medications.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of urinary health, too. You speak to men, you speak to women, but you should, a primary care doctor, which I don't do that much of, but sometimes I do, should hopefully be going through with their patients, in general, what's going on in their lives. And one of the things you talk about is waterworks,
How
is your urine? Do you have any trouble getting going? Especially, men and women have different problems, but, in women more sometimes incontinence as people age, and men more commonly more difficulty with the stream or difficulty starting to urinate and continuing to urinate. So you bring that up, and as part of that, I think, genitourinary includes your sex life and your urinary tract, and I think it's hopefully, doctors should be bringing that up with their patients, and hopefully patients feel comfortable, discussing it.
Well, what are the indicators here? I mean, you would take that, so you take the medication to treat erectile dysfunction, so you could do that for the rest of your life, could you not?
Yes. As long as you don't have any of those contraindications, as long as, because you can develop those at any time, so it's always worthwhile reviewing
those. Well, that's
those.
Why it's a prescription from your doctor, right?
Yeah, exactly. But there's no, there's certainly no age limit, and there are three different choices on the market. But in general, they act similarly. You take all of them about half an hour or an hour. Cialis is a bit quicker, but you take them within an hour of, wanting to have sex, and then that's pretty much it. They can be taken for the rest of your life, and then you may not need them for the rest of your life. And sometimes, it's something, not in everyone, in a lot of people they actually still continue to need them, but some people, if there is a mental or a psychological issue, we've talked about this with sleeping aids, knowing that you have the pill may be helpful in and of itself because you don't worry about it as much.
All right. But as you said early on in the conversation, first you have to have the urge or the pill won't do anything anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Again, you may feel you may feel more confident if you have the pill that so maybe it'll help, but
one thing leads to another.
It's not an aphrodisiac. Nope.
No, all right, that was the word I was looking for.
Too.
I just couldn't come up with that. All right. Okay. We have a call here. Here's John calling from Toronto. Do you have a comment or a question about this, John?
Yes, I do. I've got a sort of a double whammy. It's nothing technical, but I heard you didn't have too many callers. And
I thought maybe it was because of the subject material, that's why.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm a little embarrassed myself, but not embarrassed, but a little hesitant.
Okay.
Basically, I want to know from the doctor there, if people are kind of nervous, a little bit nervous about taking these things that increase their ability to have sex, as it were, does the doctor recommend any specific diet or early to bed, early to rise, or
going on around you while you're taking the pill?
Yeah, other
all right.
ways, other ways, and what are the benefits, etc.
All right. What about that, Dr. Zach?
So the main thing, I wasn't sure. Well, first of all, thanks for John for asking a question.
Thanks for John being courageous. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's two. One of the things I wanted to figure out is whether he means things that you can do to increase your potency
aside from
taking the medications, or in addition to taking the medication. But we can address both. I mean, ultimately, the issue here for in terms of these medications, what they do is a blood supply issue. So, if just in terms of improving the blood supply to that area, the things that you can do are basically, the more physically fit and cardiovascularly fit you are, the better.
Right.
The less you smoke, ideally no smoking, the better. If you're diabetic, the better control of your blood sugar, the better. And in terms of diet, I mean, in general, you know, if you have a diet that's very high in trans fats or just in fats and cholesterol in general, then you do have more risk of having atherosclerosis, which means the lining of the arteries aren't as clean, and then you probably have more risk of having erectile dysfunction. So basically, in terms of diet, over the long term, certainly a healthier diet with more fruits and vegetables and leaner meats is better.
Okay, what about a glass of wine with your Viagra? Is that a no-no?
It's not a actual contraindication. It doesn't help. I mean, there's certainly some evidence that alcohol does not help with maintaining erection and getting an erection. So if that's a concern that you want a strong erection or whatnot, then I wouldn't recommend having alcohol at the same time. Even though, often they sometimes do go together because, you know, people like to go out and when they're relaxing, they like to have some wine. But if it's a concern, then probably if you're using Viagra and you're thinking you're going to be sexually active, I'd probably avoid the alcohol for that time.
Okay. John, thank you very much for the question. If you have a question for Dr. Zach, it doesn't have to be about Viagra or Cialis or what's the third one?
Levitra.
Levitra.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be about that.
No.
You can call with other questions as well. Although now I have all kinds of calls waiting about Viagra, so there you go. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, it's 12:41, and Dr. Zach is standing by. Let's take a few phone calls. Here's Brian calling from East York. Brian, do you have a question for Dr. Zach?
Yes, I do, Dale. Dr. Zach, have you ever heard of anybody having any adverse reactions to the Viagra?
Yes, I have, unfortunately, Brian. there are a few adverse reactions I mentioned quickly before that are not severe, but certainly more common. Things like headache, flushing, like flushing in your face, sort of feeling red and hot, nasal congestion, and sometimes a change in vision, so a tinge in your vision. More severe, but quite rare, there have been cases of sudden hearing loss, and apparently there have been some cases of headache. Of a heart attack, which is, again, very rare. And one of the very serious and very rare side effects is something called priapism, which is an erection that just doesn't go away. And it's a painful erection, and it lasts hours and hours, and that actually needs medical attention. So, unfortunately, these are rare side effects, but absolutely, there are negative side effects.
Well, Dr. Zach, you missed one. I'll tell you one that happened to me. This is about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I decided, we'd spice up, my wife and I, so I got some Viagra off my doctor.
Yeah.
And my wife went up and had a nice bubble bath. I went down and had a shower, come upstairs, took my Viagra. Everything seemed to be working fine. We get into bed, and we're doing a little hugging and kissing, and then all of a sudden I had to get up and go to the washroom.
Mm.
So I went to the washroom, and everything was fine. I come back, and same thing again. About the third time I had to go to the washroom, I realized that this Viagra wasn't for me.
Huh.
And believe it or
really?
Not, that is the crappiest evening I've ever had in my life.
I bet it was.
And of course, my wife was telling a couple of our friends. They thought it was quite humorous. I didn't think it was that funny.
Well, no, you wouldn't think it was funny at all. So
I don't think you want to have been privy to my discussion with the doctor the next time I seen him. I told him it was the worst case of diarrhea I ever had in my life.
Huh.
And he can take his Viagra pills and use them himself.
Thank you, Brian, very much. Is that one of the known side effects?
It's not a common one. You know,
really?
If you look it up on the product Monograph, I wonder if it's one of those one in thousands.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Not one of the common ones. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about any kind of medication. I mean, people can react to it differently, can't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that if it was right after he took it, then there's no question it could be from the Viagra.
Must be that. Here's Ron calling from East York. Ron, do you have a question?
Yes, I have been told that if you're taking high blood pressure pills, you should not take Viagra.
Well, it depends on the type of high blood pressure pill. Certainly a lot of people who take high blood pressure pills can take Viagra. If they're in the nitrate or nitroglycerin family, absolutely not.
That's the ones you can't take, the nitro family.
That's the one you can't. However, there are a lot of antihypertensives or blood pressure pills that are safe with Viagra, So it may still be possible for sure.
As an example,
glucosamine. Then
sorry,
I guess mine must be the bad ones because my doctor said no.
He said no to you. Then
that may well be. You don't want to. If you're on that medication, you definitely don't want to mix it. It's too dangerous.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Sharon. That's the one real no-no, isn't it?
That's the biggest no-no
yeah.
for sure. I mean, that's clear. That's clear and present danger, as they say. Yeah.
But in terms of so-called blood pressure medication, what kind of medications are you talking about that would probably be okay?
Oh, there are a lot of
all kinds of them.
Things like ACE inhibitors. So the names for those are things like ramipril or Altase. Things like calcium channel blockers, like Norvasc. Beta blockers, like labetalol or Lopressor. And even even diuretics, the water pills, those are all usually fine. You know, depending, you have to look at the specific medication. But there are a number of classes that are safe with the Viagra type medications.
Yeah, and if you're going to a different doctor to get the Viagra prescription, you better be prepared to tell them all the other medications that you're on, because that potentially could be a problem.
Well, very important. We've talked about before these, electronic medical records or at least having a list of your medications with you. It's absolutely very important. And it's very important, ideally, to have it with you, if anything happens and you go to the hospital so that...
Because
if you've taken Viagra in the past few hours and you go to the emergency room with chest pain, they have to know, because we use nitro a lot in the emergency department.
Yeah, for sure. Here's Peter calling from Toronto. Peter, do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Zach. I'm in 60. I consider myself very fit. I exercise 4 times a week, which is no problem. I consider myself healthy as well.
Yeah.
Now, having no sex, I have no problem with erection. My problem is reaching a climax. Is it that problem with my age, or is it some form of impotence?
All right.
Mind you, I lost my wife 3 years ago, and ever since, I went downhill.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very sorry about your wife, and it sounds like you have a great lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in general, so these medications certainly don't sound like they're for you, because it doesn't sound like your problem is an erectile dysfunction problem. If it's a problem with reaching climax or ejaculating, then then these medications certainly aren't what's right for you. There are different. I would say you'd have to go. You'd actually see your doctor, and maybe even see a urologist to see what the problem is. And it is it's definitely possible that this is related. If you're still in mourning somewhat, then it certainly doesn't
could
help.
Be that too, couldn't it?
No. Okay. Let me remind you that I went twice to urologist, and he said there's nothing wrong with me. Okay, this is not always the case that I'm not reaching the climax.
Uh-huh.
I do reach climax, but not all the time. Sometimes I have to do repeat sex and then during the night in order to get my climax.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm going without it. So what it is?
Yeah.
what I should do, what doctor I should see. I spoke to a family doctor, even she's a female, which I'm very open, which her, she suggested me to go to see psychologist. It might help something, and I'm having difficulties locating any of them.
Yeah. All right, well, hang on. We'll get some more information from Dr. Zach. What about that? What other kinds of solutions might be possible here?
Well, it certainly sounds like you're seeing the right people. I mean, the family doctor, the urologist, and then, you know, that is an interesting and potentially important idea to see, to speak with a psychologist as well, if there is a psychological, because, you know, psychological issues won't go away with medications like Viagra, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't help me, Viagra. No, I never use it.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that is the answer, you know, but certainly it sounds like you need to still keep trying. And if the urologist wasn't able to help, then I think go back to the family doctor.
Peter, thank you very much for your question. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740 if you have a question for Dr. Zach.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Dr. Zach is here answering questions at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Here's Clifford on the line from Welland. Clifford, you have a question for Dr. Zach.
Yeah, actually I do. It's kind of ironic you're on this subject just today. This morning I flipped through a movie, and it was one of those teenage things from the 70s, and they were in Tijuana trying to buy something called Spanish Fly.
Oh, yeah.
And I started to laugh because I hadn't even heard that term since the 70s.
I heard it when I was a kid, right, when we were teenagers,
And so I started to laugh, but then I started to wonder about it. I remember in the 70s they had this stuff called Spanish Fly. Everybody knew about it.
Yeah,
and it was for the exact same purpose as what I imagine this Viagra is for. But back then, everybody was being told how dangerous it is, how harmful it is.
Yeah.
What's really the difference?
What is Spanish Fly? Do you know, Dr. Zach?
You know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I remember it from when I was a kid, too. But I don't know what it was. But, you know, I always thought that that was supposed to be something to increase sex drive and increase your interest in having sex, like an aphrodisiac, as we were saying.
It was more libido than it was functionary. That's
what my understanding was. Now I don't know what it was. So, and I don't know if it was real either. So I don't know.
Well, we heard a lot of crap when we were kids that wasn't necessarily true, you know.
Yeah.
Now, and in this case, like we were saying, this actually doesn't increase libido. Although there's some hope for it doing that, but that's not really. I mean, it is. It's pretty clearly a chemical that increases the blood flow to the penis, but first, it will not work unless you're aroused first. So your brain, basically, your brain has to send off the signals to the area of your genitals that say, send more blood to that area.
Yeah.
Unless your brain does that by being aroused, Viagra won't work. So you can take all the Viagra you want, and if you're not aroused, you're not going to have an erection.
But as you say, if you've got Viagra and you're about to take it, the notion of that could be a bit of an aphrodisiac itself.
Absolutely. I think, people, it relaxes them, for
the
sure.
The placebo effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's a big one, you know.
All right. Thanks very much, Clifford.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know... I don't know whether that if anybody knows what Spanish Fly or they've heard a story about it.
I was thinking after Peter's call.
Yeah.
You know the difference. You know, over the life cycle. You know, when people are young men are always trying to take longer to climax.
Yeah.
And then Peter is, you know, Peter's not that happy because, you know, it's taking him too long to climax.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're always trying to get to that right balance.
It's never exactly right, apparently.
No, exactly.
Here's Al calling from Toronto. Al, do you have a question?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Yes. What if I have a low blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Low blood, all right. What about that? What about that, Dr. Zhang?
Well, if you have low blood pressure, it's something you definitely need to talk to your doctor about. It's one of the reasons you should be cautious about taking Viagra because there is some potential. It is, you know, Viagra is a vasodilator, right? So it makes the blood vessels open up. And it's quite specific for the penis, but it does have some effects on other parts of the body. And when the blood vessels open up, basically that can decrease your blood pressure. And the concern is with people who have low blood pressure that it's going to make your blood pressure too low and that you could actually pass out. So if you have low blood pressure, it is a concern. And you definitely, that's the reason why Viagra needs a prescription. You need to go talk to your doctor if you do want this kind of medication and see if it's safe for you. Some people with borderline lowish blood pressure can safely
take it at a low dose. I have kind of under 110 on 65, something like this.
Okay, you know, that's not terribly low. And what could be done is, and similarly, I'm not saying you have, but similarly, people who have mild kidney dysfunction or liver dysfunction, these things can be dosed, right? There's a range. So you don't have to, for Viagra, for example, the range is from 25 milligrams to 100 milligrams. So it might be safer in someone like you to start with 25 milligrams to make sure it doesn't make you lightheaded or dizzy.
All right. Thanks very much for that. So there are different strengths of these medications. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. There's a range. So all of them have Viagra is 25 to 100 milligrams, Levitra is 5 to 20, and Cialis is 2.5 to 20 milligrams.
And the difference is how drastic your erectile dysfunction problem is. Is that essentially what we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, depending on if you're on other medications, specifically things like erythromycin or cimetidine, those are medications that will actually decrease the breakdown of Viagra. So if you're on those medications, the effective Viagra in your system will be higher.
Yeah.
And similarly, if you have kidney dysfunction or liver dysfunction, you won't break down the Viagra as much. So it's important to be on lower doses because effectively your system will be getting a higher dose.
Well, and that takes you back to that original point. Don't fool around with this. You've got to get a prescription from a doctor if you're going to try it.
Yeah, and it's always, you know, it's always safest with any medication to start low and to go up until it's effective rather than starting high and getting all the potential side effects and overshooting the mark.
Yeah, okay. Here's John. Let's see here. Here's John calling from Port Dover. Do you have a question, John?
Yes, sir. It's not about Viagra, but it's about supplements.
Yeah.
When my wife was alive, she had me taking this thing called Sol Palmetto. Is that close enough?
Sol Palmetto.
Yeah. Right, okay. Now, I quit after she passed away. Is that any really good for a guy?
Okay. What about that, Dr. Zach?
So Sol Palmetto, it's a supplement. And
sounds like an Italian singer. I know it's not, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's an extract from a fruit, and it's supposed to be rich in fatty acids, and it's been used, I've heard, you know, in complementary medicine, they say it's helpful for a number of things, like including benign BPH, which is basically an enlargement of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that it's particularly helpful. I don't think it's a dangerous extract or anything. But I've seen a couple of studies, especially for that indication, like for helping with the prostate, and they weren't very convincing that it was helpful. So
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, the stuff I've seen hasn't shown it to be a very helpful supplement.
Thank you very much for the question, John, and Dr. Zach. Thanks very much for all the great answers.
Thank you, Dale. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.